through the book of Ezekiel. And the singing has lifted me up tremendously, encouraged me. Such beautiful words. Not one of them talked about how blue I am or how wretched I am or I can't hardly make it. There's one more hill to climb. They talked about, oh, for a thousand. And it seemed like I hear the Lord say, when you start using the one you got, you'll get more. It's been a trying day physically for me. Very trying day. But it's almost over. And at 12:01, the leaf will turn and there'll be a brand new day that I've never seen before. And my intention is to make the best out of it that I can. And the logic behind that is because I'll never get a chance to do it again. This day is 90% history. Amen? Ezekiel. And we're going to begin reading in chapter 1 and verse number 1. And we're going to read the first 20 verses of chapter 1. There's a lot more that merit to be read, but I pray and I trust that something will be said today or tonight in this service that will make the Lord Jesus look good, that will make people just stretch out for Him. And it may be before you can stretch out for Him that you might have to bow before Him, because reverence comes before worship, ever what, you know. Now it came to pass in the 30th year. Okay, let me give nuggets. Ezekiel was 30 years old when he began his ministry. He preached 22 years and people sneered at him. He had the same agenda. He had the same parish, okay? For 22 years, preaching to the same people and got no results. In the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, he's in Babylon. He's been by Nebuchadnezzar. He's been transported away from his home. But geography has nothing to do with worship. Do you understand that? Or if we could just get this, that, and the other, we had this and that, you know, we could really worship God. If you can't worship God where you are, as you are, and how you are, you're not going to worship God with all these trimmings. Geography has nothing to do with worship. Daniel can worship in a den of lions. Shadrach and his boys, his friends, can worship in a fiery furnace. Moses can worship on the back side of the desert. And you can worship in your daily duties. There's not a one of you been anywhere today that you couldn't have worshiped. And the lack of worship leaves us anemic. That's not just some cliche. The lack of worship. You build your strength up when you worship God. I'm talking about even driving down the road in your automobile, just he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Get your mind off of who got the promotion. Get your mind off of who got the best singing accolades. Get your mind off of worship Jesus. He has stepped through the barriers of your life to get into where you are worshiping. He wants to inhabit the praise, the worship. I don't mean dime store stuff. I'm talking about worship that comes from a savor. Worship that flows, that's got an odor to it. And sometimes you have to sacrifice to worship. In fact, it's the best kind of worship in the world is when you don't feel like it. You don't see any need of it through your logical mind. You just say, that's the time to worship. Hebrews 13 talked about this, offer the sacrifice. Sacrifice is something that you don't readily have. Oh, I'm never going to get into it. He's a prisoner, a captive. He's in the Babylonian area. He's by the river Chebar. And the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. John does this on Patmos. Amen? Notice how he specified in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. His name means God is my strength. Unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Are y'all getting this? And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst of this cloud, out of the midst of it, thereof as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Listen now. This is in my notes, but let me just give you a snapshot. The fire, listen to this good. The fire of the Lord always produces something. If we run Jericho walls 7 laps around the building tonight and jumped up and twirled around and turned somersaults and thanked God for the Holy Ghost and all, and went home and nothing was produced in our life. Am I making any sense? God grants blessings to us to produce something in us and through us. His Spirit will come to encourage you, but it's deeper than that. He comes to strengthen you for your task that He has assigned you to do. Now, if I was sitting on the pews and my pastor come to church feeling as rotten as I did tonight, I'd say, glory to God, you've done a mighty work in His hand in His life already. A whirlwind. And out of the whirlwind, out of the north, the fire and fire. And verse number 5, and out of the midst thereof came the lightness, the whirlwind, the fire, and emerging out of it. When the Holy Ghost visits a church, there ought to be something coming out of it. Does that make sense to you? And let's see what comes out of it. The likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Remember that. Not some mystical figure. Everyone, these 4 creatures, living creatures, had, you remember Revelation chapter 4? And everyone had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. What an awesome description. 4 living creatures, and their feet, there's so much preaching here. We need some straight feet people that don't wobble, that don't veer, that don't try to find out who they are. Some people have been in church for 32 years and they still don't know who they are. Somebody's going to have to help me out here because I'm, okay. Their wings were joined one to another and they turned not when they went. That's good. They turned not. They kept focused. Okay, what verse was I on? Their feet and the sole of their feet, okay, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they 4 had their faces and their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went everyone straight forward. We're on the King's Highway, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, you know. As for the likeness of their faces, they 4 had the 4 features here, and that we got to get them. They had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they 4 had the face of an ox on the left side, and they 4 also had the face of an eagle. Weird looking beings, an individual with 1 head and 4 features. Thus were their faces. And their wings were stretched upward. 2 wings of every one were joined one to another. And 2 covered their bodies. And they went, everyone, straight forward. What would happen if the church all went together? Whether the Spirit was to go, they went, led by the Holy Ghost. And they turned not when they went. They knew where they were going. And they, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance, and have you already seen the physical features of them? Their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. Isn't that awesome? And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the midst of the wheel. Anybody ever felt that wheel turning? Glory to God. When they went, they went. They went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. And finally, the last verse we're reading, whithersoever the Spirit was to go, they went. They were Spirit-led. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. May God touch the reading of his word tonight and give us capability to make comments that would be useful. Father, we've read, we've prayed already, we've read the scripture, and we've prepared the table. Now, I pray, God, that you would bless and move and minister in a very special way. Let needs be met tonight that could not be met if we would have stayed home. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel was prophet to the whole house of Israel. And he was not just for Judah or so forth. He was prophet to the entire entity. And he had an assignment from God. And that's what we need to talk about and we need to deal with tonight, that assignment. This prophet, this scripture, this book is a reminder that God loves me and you so much that he is willing to reach over to someone and sacrifice them on his altar for you. Ezekiel, if we went by the natural means, he could have said, look, I want to be like other people. I want to be able to retire and take it easy and all. But when God called him, he realized the soberness of it. I mean, I don't think I'm getting it across. God sacrifices people to reach people. Am I right? I mean, when God wanted to deliver Israel, he called a Moses. We hear people talking about God don't need me. God needs you. God needs you so badly. He's got a lot of people that need to be reached, and he's going to reach them through a person. The crows and the ducks and the people that... they don't preach the gospel. Angels don't preach the gospel. The church. And it's an awesome thing when we think about what is laid upon the shoulders of the church. The responsibility of reaching people for the kingdom of God. Am I talking to you? So God loves us. And God calls vessels and calls them to a dedicated sacrificial life. He calls an Isaiah, he calls an Ezekiel, a Daniel, and basically when he calls them, he said, your life will never be the same again. If God has called you, it makes a difference in your life. Am I talking to you? If God has called you for a specific, all of us are called, but if God has uniquely called you for a specific purpose, Along with that calling, that calling is going to be marked by some type of supernatural confirmation. You're not just going to wake up one day and say, you know, I think I want to be thus and thus and thus. That calling is going to be confirmed by the Spirit of God through some manner or other. Am I talking to you? So when God calls somebody, he calls them to a life, you become the extension of God. You become the voice of God. And therefore, we need to get that in our mind. So his ministry, Ezekiel was one of these prophets. He was not called to leisure. He was not called to an easy life. Just like Jeremiah, God told him what he had to do. God told him, I'll just give you a couple of capsules here. God told him, said, now here's what you got to do. For 390 days, you got to lay on your left side. Amen? For 70 days, you got to lay on your right side. Oh, and incidentally, Ezekiel, you're going to be a special diet. You're not going to eat like other people. Am I talking? See, we in the church world, we want to say, we want to be too much like, we want to have the things that the world relish. God said to Ezekiel, here's what you got to do. I'm going to tell it to you straight. You got to cook food that is unusual, and you got to cook it. Are y'all ready to be shocked? You got to cook it with animal, with human manure. Ezekiel said, oh, that's it. He didn't grumble about nothing else. He didn't grumble about the task. He didn't grumble about the strenuous duty. But he did grumble about, I've never eaten anything unclean. This would not be clean. God said, I'll compromise with you. You don't have to indulge with human refuse, but you cook it with animal. I mean, God calls a man. He doesn't call him to be just somebody. He calls him because the Jewish people are in captivity. And here is what God is saying to Ezekiel. You're there with them, and your whole role while you're with them is to remind them why they're there. You know, the prophets didn't preach to the nations. They preached to the people of God. Am I talking to you? The prophets didn't go downtown. I mean, I'm not saying didn't, but they didn't. The world was not their parish. Judah, Israel, the tribes of God, the people that knew how to live, and it was supposed to have been passed down from one generation to the other generation. And Ezekiel's job is to confront those people and say, let me tell you why you're in captivity. We need people to come to the pulpit and tell churches why there's no liberty in the churches. Tell them why there's no freedom. We need to, why are we in bondage? Why are we, tell the church world that there's a logic. It's not just because the devil's ferocious. Let me tell you something right now. You know this well. The devil could not do anything but what God allows him to do. Now, we may not understand the depth of that. We may not understand the scope of it, but it's the truth. If the devil could outwit God, then we're serving a God that's not as powerful as what we believed he is. But we believe that in spite of what the devil's doing to us, there's a God that is a refuge. And we can run to that refuge and flee to the righteous, run into it, and they are saved. But God wants the people to know. Backsliders, God wants you to know why you're backslid. He wants you to know why you're drinking the cup that you're drinking. And Israel needed to be reminded, the coming up generation needed to be reminded. God didn't just not love you and let you go to Babylon. He didn't let the Babylonians, you were warned. You were taught. You were preached to. It was dramatized to you while you're here. I sent my prophets. That's what Jeremiah said. God spoke through Jeremiah, rising up early and staying late. And they didn't get any popularity. They didn't get any pat on the back. Am I talking to anybody? So Ezekiel's ministry starts as a result of a vision in chapters 1 and 2. He sees this vision, and he's commissioned to a life of hardship. Amen? Do you remember, I know you don't remember in World War II, and I don't remember in World War II, just in case you think. It'll sink in. In history, do you remember reading Mr. Churchill's Litany? It'll give you cold chills. That old bulldog man stood at the podium and he talked to the British people. And he told them what he did not offer them. He didn't offer them luxury. He didn't offer them ease. He didn't offer them all this. Then he told them what he did. I offer you blood, sweat, tears, sacrifice. But when that old man finished talking, the British people come together as one, and World War II ultimately was ended. Jesus Christ confronts us in the voice of his people. Oh, dear God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ stands before us invisible, except through the countenance of his preachers and teachers. And he says to us, I don't offer you luxury. I don't offer you leisure. I don't offer you, I'm not spoiling you. But here's what I do offer you. Here's what I do offer you. I offer you temporarily a cross. Temporarily. Now, do you receive what I offer you? Well, yes, Lord, I'll receive. Well, if you receive it, truly receive it, at one day, at some point, you will trade that cross for a crown. Bear the cross. Suffer the reproach of it. Endure the consequence of it. But one day, you're going to have a crown. God does not promise us all the stuff that we clamor after. He said, I will supply all your needs. Amen? Am I talking to anybody? Do you remember reading in Hebrews chapter 11? They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskin. They were abused. They were beaten. They were betrayed. They suffered. Of whom the world was not worthy of. I mean, tell me something, beloved. Talk to me tonight, at least by your countenance. Could not have God, could Isaiah saw into animals during that era, they would take wild or horses and put one headed north and put one headed south and put the Christian beside them, and they make the horses get up and separate the body. Couldn't God have stepped in and said, oh, and in the last 5 years, I'm going to say 5 years, ISIS taking Christians out, making them bow down, kneel down, and beheading them. Couldn't God have stopped that? Have you ever wondered about that? Of course God could have stopped it because he's God. But the world would have been looking to God as a redeemer, as a Santa Claus. I know I'm. The world would have got a misconstrued vision of who God is. God is, I got him tucked away in my bib overalls, and you stay there until I need you, God, because I'm a free wheeler until I need you. I'm a fly high, but when I need you, I want you, and I mean I want you right now. So if God would have stepped in and stopped the ISIS and stopped the beheadings, the world would have got a vision of God as he's Johnny on the spot. But instead, they got a vision of some people, some human beings that said, cut my head off if you will. Kill me and let me bleed to death right here. But I am not going to deny my faith. Now, which is the most viable? Seeing the ropes come undone, the blindfold off people, glory to God, hallelujah. Or seeing the head roll. And the last word comes out of their mouth is Jesus. Am I talking to them? I'm freewheeling a little bit. I'm trying not to say, am I talking to you anymore? He has this vision. He's called. The calling of God carries heavy responsibility. I don't believe, I honestly think in weighing this out, I don't believe that I'm wrong. I don't believe Ezekiel could have had any choice. I mean, it's easy to say, well, he could have chose. When that burning is in you, Jonah might run for a while, but after a while, the fish is going to get him. God does not waste his calling. He does not. It's not five straws and the short straw gets called. Hello? God looks at you and says, I need Fred Sanford in Hackney Bodish, whatever, and Fred Sanford, Fred. That woke you up. Y'all were drifting around. You know? But God said, I need so-and-so in this place. Now he gives them the witness. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. Am I talking to you? It's people that have gone through extraordinary hardship. When that calling comes, their world becomes in a whirlwind. Hello, church. When the calling comes, the whirlwind comes and blows them here. I mean, God said, I need somebody. I'm speaking liberally now. God says, I need somebody to demonstrate in this era who I am. I need somebody to reflect their relationship with me. And he looks around and he sees somebody named Job. And Satan comes and says, you know, yak, yak, yak. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Lucifer said, I sure have, but you've got him hemmed in. I can't get to him. You let me get to him and I'll have him. And you know the story. Now, Job showed up. Job, in 2017, Job is still teaching us that though you walk through the trials and tribulation, though you go through things that you don't understand, there is another side to it. You're coming up the rough side of the mountain. There is a breaking point where God says, you stood true to me and I'll stand true to you. You didn't waver when the trials come. You didn't fuss at me about the way I treated you. You didn't blame me because you're this, that, or the other. You heard the cancer report and you didn't run around saying, I'm going to have cancer. If you, look out now. There's a God that's able to heal your cancer, but there's a God that's able to give you strength to bear your cancer. I lost some of you then. I don't know what's going to come for any of us. I don't know what tomorrow holds on any of us. But I do know who holds tomorrow. And I do know that whatever comes my way, whatever comes my way, I do know that he that knows me will keep me. I am persuaded, Paul said, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul. Nero's in charge here. Rome is going to, Paul, what's that out that prison window? That's a chopping block. Paul, what are they doing? They're cutting people's head off for religious violations. They come get Paul. He's had time to contemplate. He's had time to meditate. He's had time to weigh it all out. But he don't have to weigh it out. I am ready now to be offered. Hello, church. He didn't say, give me 30 days. I'm going to weigh this out. I'm ready. We need some ready Christians. Ready to suffer. Ready to rejoice. Whatever comes down the road. Our songs. He is able to keep me. He was able. They're beautiful songs. Yesterday, sitting at that desk, in a spirit of prayer, in a spirit of travail, I heard in my spirit say, my people lie constantly. I said, not in Alligood. Yeah, he said, really in Alligood. They lie. Have I got your attention? They stand up and they sing their songs. This is what the Holy Ghost dealt with. They stand up and they testify. It's so Ghibli that it's right. It's not even funny. I love the Lord with all my heart. Lie. Oh, I love you, Jesus, more than I love anything in the world. You're lying. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. But we lie because we run through the New Testament and pick and choose what we want. We lie because we say we'll go where you want me to go. We'll do what you want me to do. You're the Lord. And he says, oh, no, I've been wrestling with you for 25 years. I'm not nowhere near the Lord of you. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. No man can call me Lord except by the Holy Ghost. It's easy to sing your songs. Let the Holy Ghost from heaven fall on me. People lose their loved ones. They lose their husband, their wife, their children. Catastrophe. If God would just bring, let me get a name, Henry. There ain't no Henrys in here. If God would just bring Henry back. If Henry walked in the door tonight, I'd be the first one out the door. You'd be right on my heels. We just talk that stuff. Number one, if Henry's in heaven, he would really get upset with you for bringing him out. Am I talking to anybody? I hope I am. I got 21 more minutes if I follow the 9 o'clock deal. And I got 6 pages and I'm on half a page of number one. It was the fire. See, something come out of the fire. He saw this whirlwind and this ball of fire. And something come out, emerged out of that. That's what happens in the church. That's where the victory comes. When the fire falls, something is supposed to come out of the fire. The fire is a producer. The fire fell at Pentecost. And what come out of that fire? The church. 120 people merged together. I got some of you upset about all this Lord said. I don't repent of it. I don't take it back. But he scolded me good fashion. I mean, if you love me, don't be going around telling, I love Jesus with all my heart. I love you, Lord. And oh, well, Jesus, help me. The fire. All right, now let me jump over 4 or 5 pages here. Have I talked to anybody? 4 living creatures, and each one of them have 4 faces. They're not, you know, we use terms like he's two-faced. No, he's four-faced. They each one of them, am I talking to you now? We need to get this in our mind. The face of a man. The first thing he saw, face, intelligence. Comprehension. God wants his people to have understanding, to have comprehension, to know what to do when the pinch comes. Be ready to give an answer. We're not just zombies walking around waiting for the music to get us higher. We wait things out. People call, this is what one of the things that I dread. People call, and it happens fairly regular, and they got a dilemma. And hey, Brother Jethro, I need this and this and this. And I don't have time to weigh it out. And you find yourself dreading, did I give the right advice? Did I give the right counsel? Because they said when people seek counsel and advice, they need to be, they need the genuine thing. Am I talking to you? I mean, the best way I can counsel is, tell me what's wrong. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, now, how do you feel about that? Well, Pastor, I feel that's exactly what I feel. And they walk out and say, that's the smartest pastor on Mill Hole Road. The face of a man. We're not zombies. We are intelligent people. At least we're supposed to be. The next face was the face of a lion, the king of the jungle or wherever. Do you understand that God wants certain characteristics about you? The lion is not afraid of anything. Hello? You know, when he growls, did anybody see? I'm pause on my sermon. Did anybody see where the preacher got eat up? This week. Yeah. Trying to walk on the water. Am I right? trying to walk on the water like Jesus, and three crocodiles ate him. It's not funny, but you know. If he'd had intelligence, if he'd have been like a lion and like a man, amen, we're supposed to have kingly, we're not supposed to walk over. The woman in Luke 18 bowed over for 18 years. That's not good. But when she connected with Jesus Christ, he told her to straighten up. Now, you can take that any way you want to, but it's not like maybe he said, now, go ahead and straighten up, woman. That could apply, but when he finished talking with her, she was upright. She was walking straight. And that's what we need. We need the ability to straighten up. We're not supposed to be stooped over by pressure and time and all this stuff. I am a demonstrator. Whether I do it adequately or not, that's another point. But I am a demonstrator of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. People ought to see in me things that they can't understand. And they should be asking questions like, how do you cope with it? You seem to take it in stride so well. I mean, they're very honest. They're wanting to know, how did you grapple with that situation? You take it in stride. And the reason why they're asking is because they'd like to have some inside information on it. And you say, because of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus. Amen. Give him praise. Give him credit. Amen. So they had the face of a man. They had the face of a lion. And then they had the face of an ox. There's two things that an ox is known for. Strength. You can load him down. When I grew up, there was a farm. I'm stuttering. There was a farm in the neighborhood. They still plow with ox. Now, it was a mystery. A snail could have gone faster. But that ox, you couldn't stop them. There ought to be something in us that's ox-like. Number one, strength. Number two, an ox is for service. The ox does not exist for people to cater to him. He exists to help people out. And God said, there's going to be some tough roads. Hello? God said, hey, believer, let me tell you something right now. You're going to encounter some difficult situations. If you faint when your strength is, if you faint when you're in adversity, your strength is small. Amen. Behold, I give you power, strength over all the power. You understand that? That ox has got strength. We need some Christians in the community of Christ. We need some people that's got some durability, that's got some strength, that can go down in the gears and say, okay, you thought you had me. I enjoy, there's a program, Ice Road Truckers. Anybody? I like that. That old wrecker backs up there, and he gets all them chains hooked up, and he pushes that lever. And you can hear that. I said, go ahead and give us some more gas. Give us some more whatever you got to give it. Because I want to see that wrecked truck come out of that gully. Sometimes we need to get that extra power. Amen? So the face of, am I talking to anybody? Then the face of an eagle. An eagle is known for two or three things. And I want to get those to you. Their vision, incredible. Incredible. They fly so fast, but they're watching. They got purpose, and they see the prey, and when they swoop down, they're known for the vision, and they're known for the heights that they can ascend to. But they're also known for the renewing. Hello. We need that's. Can I tell you straight out? That's why we need church. Church is our renewing time. It's not our show-off time. It's our renewing time. Samuel said, let's go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. It had already been settled and everything, but he wanted to have sometimes we just need to get in church and have a renewing time. Kind of like we are tonight. Those are the feet. Now, when you break it down theologically speaking, those are the features of the New Testament. Here's what I want to ask you. What did Ezekiel see prophetically? He saw the New Testament church coming out of that upper room with these four features: strength of an ox, the intelligence of a man, the vision of an eagle, and what else? The kingship of a lion. Does anybody get anything out of what I'm saying? These four creatures, they look like they were, the church is something to behold. Religion is nothing to behold. It's putrefying, it's sick, it's decrepit. But Christianity is something to behold. Even this morning, I was praying. Because if you're like I am, and you want a good case of depression, you cut these all the news on now. And there's one drum beat that's beating. Impeachment. Anybody? I have never in my lifespan ever seen the fury, the raw, unbridled bitterness and spitefulness in supposedly educated human beings. If they heard, I'm speaking from my heart. If they heard tonight that at midnight somebody had taken the president's life, there'd be a party in the street. There would be a party in the street. Now here's what I'm gonna tell you. God, I'm to the core of my soul, I believe this. God arranged it to put him in. In prayer this morning, the Lord said, "Go to Psalm, the second division. And I'm going to show you that I'm in charge." And the second division of Psalm goes on and said, "Let us cast the bands asunder." But God said, "I have set my king in my holy hill. And God that sits in heaven shall laugh at him." I don't know what's going to happen. The stock market is tumbling 300 and some points today. I don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead. But I'm not making any prophetic, but God's, in my spirit, God associated the second psalm with Mr. Trump. Don't overleap the boundaries, and I'm not trying to put him on. But I'm telling you what I believe, that with all these people, with all their plotting, all their terror theories, all their ideas, I believe they're going to be made a fool. I really believe that they're going to be made a fool. Something's going to happen. Something's got to happen. Something's going to happen that's going to snap some people's minds to attention. I don't know whether it's going to be Syria. I don't know whether it's going to be Iran, whatever. I'm getting off course here. Hello, church. Help me out. Ezekiel was from I'm just going to skim a couple of it. He was captive. He was from a priestly home. He was captive in Babylon. And he sat with the people in that river. The scripture says he sat where they sat. Sometimes we need to sit where unsaved people sit. You understand what I'm saying? We need to empathize. Not sympathize, but we need to feel what they feel. Oh, hallelujah. He was taken to Babylon against his will, I'm sure. But his obedience cost him so much. Obedience is a crucial thing. If you don't believe obedience is vital, you ask King Saul. Here's the you don't love me. Here's the thing that God dealt with me about the lie. You be careful. In my mind, I got it all written down. You be careful how you make loose statements, is what the Spirit said. Be careful. I know you mean well. I know, but it's just so easy to say. Make sure you mean it when you say it. Hello? And that's what, you know, obedience costs. Saul, go utterly destroy the Agag and the Amalekites and all. You know the story. He got down and brought human logic into play, and Samuel showed up. See, every time that you bring human logic into play, you're going to deviate from the will of God. God's word, I'm looking over to see if I need to say this. I need to say it. I mean, whether it gets you mad or not. But God's word is specific. Specific on issues. I mean, for the Ten Commandments, for example. People get all cross-eyed. We don't need them anymore. They are eternal. They change not. They're not written in sand. They're written in stone. We need... God is specific about issues. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, you tithe mint, ants, and cumin. These things you ought to do. Am I getting anybody? And not leave the other things undone. Is that in the Bible? But oh, Mr. High and Mighty, if he's here, he looks at it and he said, I just can't afford it. Or he looks at it and says, I don't see any need of it. That's Old Testament. Oh, that, I hear it so bad. That was all in the law. A man talked to me last week. Really a testifying firebrand person. But he said, I don't believe in churches. I said, whoa. He said, these little brick buildings with glass windows and preachers and musicians, I don't believe in that. I believe in Christianity like Jesus said. What he was saying is he didn't want to go to a church that had to take some money out of his pocket. Am I talking? Obeying the Lord is a challenge. It's a real challenge. It will challenge you. Do I obey? You heard Sister Betty Elliott give that beautiful testimony the other night. In the rough times of their life, they never quit. They never sacrificed. They paid their tithes. Well, why do you make such a big issue of that? That's in Malachi. Jesus carried it over in Matthew 23. These things you ought to have done and not leave the others undone. You know, tithing, just like anything else, is a test of your faithfulness, a test of your obedience. If you offend in one point, you're offended in all. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. He saw the glory of God, and he was changed. Can I get a witness out there? Have you understood what I've tried to preach tonight? Would you stand with me?